Welcome to the Mind Over Matter podcast with Heather Hakes, where mindset is everything. Thank you for joining me for today's podcast. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe and leave me a review. This podcast is designed to help open your awareness to the truth of who you are, a limitless being. You are worthy and deserving of an abundant and prosperous life. It's time to peel back the false beliefs and live the life you dream about. For additional resources or to contact me directly, please visit my website, heatherhakes.com. Without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to episode number 601. In today's podcast, my guest is sharing with you the key secrets, like step-by-step guide on how to create sustainable lifestyle changes. We cover everything from health and fitness, finances, business success, and more. But it really comes down to how are you spending your time each day and how do you create systems for long-term desired outcomes? Welcome to today's podcast interview. I've brought on Sherry Chaban. Sherry, welcome.
Thank you, Heather. Welcome.
Please give listeners a little background. Where do you live and what do you do?
So I'm from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and I'm a health and life coach and an osteopath as well as a certified athletic therapist.
So Sherry and I have been talking on the back end, and the reason I was excited to bring on a fitness and health coach is because I know there's going to be so many parallels with mindset coaching. And as I shared with Sherry, I believe any great personal trainer or health coach would have to deal with the mental and emotional aspects. Otherwise, we're just talking surface level. So can we talk a little bit kind of high level? What exactly do you help your clients through and how important is mindset?
Pardon the interruption. If this content is resonating with you, please be sure to leave a 5-star review. I want to offer you some additional resources. Visit my website, heatherhakes.com, and sign up for my free video training on how to reprogram your subconscious mind. I also offer one-on-one coaching. I will help you create clarity and a roadmap so you can live the life you dream about. Best part? Everything I teach, you can start implementing right now. To learn more and apply, visit heatherhakes.com. Now, back to regular programming.
Wow, so good. So that's almost a two-part question, and I'm going to start with the second part first, which is mindset is everything. And I feel also that this word is used so often and not really expanded on, but mindset is a collection of belief systems that we have in which we operate with every single day. And so it really stems from a lot of what we've picked up in our environment as children, all of the experiences and life experiences that we have, those that were positive, those were not so positive, and even the belief systems that we have about our own selves that we've generated as well. And so what I help people do is really shift their mindset to become the person that they were always meant to be. And that would mean that we would address different blocks. For some people, it could be an injury that they have a belief system around. And that was my case growing up. And for others, it could be a dis-ease. For others, it could be a struggle with weight or even just a struggle with self-esteem. And so the moment we uncover that and we really understand that it really is just this program that's constantly running with thoughts and emotions and actions, and we start to break that down, then we can start to really reverse engineer what we have to do to become the person that we see as that highest version of ourselves.
And I definitely want to deep dive that, the idea of identity shifting to create the true lasting transformation. But before we go there, I just want to share, I have a resource on my website called the Life Assessment, and I've seen hundreds come through. And I would say 9 out of 10 times, one of the pain points in people's health is, and they write it in, I want to lose weight, I want to be healthier. So let's talk about why we overeat or we don't have as much movement, where we have a conscious desire. We're going to start on Monday and then we self-sabotage. So let's talk about this vicious cycle that are keeping people unhealthy, overweight, not happy.
Yeah, it's such a brilliant question because the reason is that they're very outcome focused. So the goal is always, I want to release weight. And if you notice, for most people, when they do tend to accomplish that, they've accomplished the work, they've accomplished a job, and then they stop working, right? It's like tax season right now. What happens? Well, we all collect our bills and everything we need for the accountant. We send that stuff off. And the moment it's done, it's out of mind. And then we stop working on it. So it's dangerous to really focus on just that outcome, because what we're actually doing is we have this future vision of something that can happen. And I call this a snapshot. It's a two-dimensional photo of what life could look like only if all of these things could happen. And also our joy is very much attached to that moment in the future. So I'm not okay with how I am right now. I don't have joy right now. I'm very miserable right now. I'm suffering. There's a lot of negative self-talk. But the moment that I can accomplish this fitness goal, then all of a sudden I'll be happy, I'll be healthy, and everything will be really great. And so to shift away from outcome focus and to shift towards system focused is going to be a more powerful way to really start to look at your goals.
Okay, so what you just touched on, I used to call conditional living. I'll be happy when I lose weight, right, when I get in a relationship, when I make more money, when I get that next career thing. And I love the idea that like life is happening now. Oh, Abraham Hicks says this. Abraham Hicks says, you can't have a happy ending on an unhappy journey.
Right.
So how can we help people get in a state of, maybe if it's self-love or self-compassion, whatever it may be, right here, right now, in order to create the systems to get the transformation they actually want?
Yeah. And that really has to be self-acceptance, right? It has to be that I'm actually okay with everything right now, which is sounds like a very, very hard thing for all of us to do, especially because we are trying to change our situation. But here's the thing. It's exactly to your point, Heather, what you just said. We're living now. We're in the present moment now. And you'll notice that however you're feeling now tends to dictate your day. So you'll notice that when somebody walks in the room and they're in a really bad mood and they're yelling at everyone, notice what happens. Everyone starts yelling, right? And so we have this thing called resonance, where we attract to ourselves whatever energy we're putting out. And so the question really has to be, okay, when I release 30 pounds, then I'll be happy. All right, that's interesting. So that's a lot of, you know, examples of goals, for example, that I hear. But what does that really mean? Does that mean that once I lose 10 pounds, I won't be happy? And then 15 pounds, I won't be happy? And then 29 pounds, I won't be happy? It's only until it's 30 pounds and suddenly overnight, I'll be happy? Yeah. And when we think about that, it sounds very, very backwards. Because if I can't be happy now, the moment I achieve that goal, I won't have that joy then. But you'll notice that when you do have that energy of acceptance and you're fully present in where you are right now and have a dialectical approach to it. So for example, okay, I've let my health go a little bit in the past. There's a lot of things that happened in my life. Maybe I went through a divorce. Maybe somebody was ill in the family and I've managed to put on some weight, and I'm also working towards my goals. Both of those can coexist, but we have such a dual mind. It's either this or that. I'm either happy or I'm sad. And if you'll notice that we do this, if you have two blue sweaters, there's always one that you like more. If you have two things that are almost similar, you're always thinking about which one is better. And it's the reason why also we have a lot of conflicts in the world, where really things are good and things are bad. So it's a lot of polarity that we actually place on certain things inside our environment.
Man, you're touching on some deep stuff when it comes to like this health and physical transformation, but And I want to dive deeper into the inside aspect and this identity shifting. But before we go there, something just came to mind, a story. And I literally did this is why I love life synchronicities. But yesterday I did like a Instagram reel or a short on, I remember it was a couple of years ago, I was in the sauna in the morning at the gym having small talk with this woman next to me, definitely overweight, a bigger woman. And she made a comment. She's like, yeah, I'm getting back in the gym and losing my baby weight. And I was like, that's amazing. Good for you. How old's your baby? 8. Her child is 8. And so can we talk about how easy it is? And look, I'm not denying, sure, she's been busy and motherhood is hard and all that. But the truth is, like, she created habits for 8 years to let herself go and not be a priority in all the things. So can we talk about how excuses and justifications are actually sabotaging our ideal outcomes?
Yeah. And we tend to actually use them or look for them to maybe make ourselves feel a little better for not committing. But yeah, it still comes from that polarity, right? That I'm either on the wagon or I'm off the wagon. And the reason why a lot of us actually tend to notice that all of these unserving habits start to accumulate over time is because we always have an all or none approach to certain things. So either it's perfect and I'm doing all the things. I said I was gonna go to the gym 5 days a week. I was gonna go for a walk every single day. I was gonna have a smoothie for breakfast. And the moment that one of those things gets derailed, all of a sudden I failed. And now I find myself going in the reverse direction. And so what I actually want to say to that is maybe not what a lot of people actually would expect to hear, which is really coming to the point where we're not actually thinking dialectically, right? We actually, again, tend to add these unserving habits simply because we need to be so perfect. And when that one little thing goes wrong, then we don't have that sense of perfection. And now we've completely failed. And so maybe anyone listening now can maybe examine that, whether it's around your business or around your health and fitness or even around your relationships. How do you tend to actually look at what success looks like? Is it the fact that everything needs to be perfect, or can it be that maybe 1 week you didn't get to do all your workouts, yet you're still consistent and moving towards where it is that you want to go? And so by allowing ourselves to really get in that place, again, of acceptance, of being in full acceptance of where we are and also working on where it is that we want to go, we have a lot more flexibility and adaptability. And when we're flexible and when we're adaptable to certain life situations, we can also stay consistent. And that's really what gives us results. It's that consistency over time.
Okay, so here's what's coming to mind. And I'm curious your perspective on it, because, you know, if we fall off, and look, we're human, of course you're going to have an off day, but mm-hmm. when an off day becomes off days, weeks, months down the, now you've just, you're totally derailed. And so I've seen it all across the board, different people, different ideas, but like, it's okay to have an off day, but don't have two off days in a row. And right. I guess what's coming to mind is, I go to the gym every morning. It's just part of my lifestyle. It's like my mental health. It's my self-care. I love the adrenaline. I just go. There are plenty of mornings. Of course, I don't feel like it, but at least I get there. And it may not be as amazing of a workout as some days, but I still went. So what's right. the difference in that self-accountability and staying consistent, whether or not you feel like it, versus giving yourself room to fall off?
Right. Oh, so good. So two things that I hear you say. The first thing that I hear you say is you don't easily break a commitment with yourself. So that's the most important commitment, is your commitment with yourself. That is non-negotiable. And then the second thing I hear you say is that you're also very generous with yourself. So here's what I mean by that. Oftentimes when we take action, it's for, again, an exchange for an outcome. I'm gonna eat salad for a week because I wanna lose, let's say, a couple pounds by the end of the week. Or I'm gonna start to reach out and connect with all these leads because I wanna make a certain amount, right, by the end of the month. But if instead we actually look at every single action that we give to ourselves as part of our day, like you're sharing, Heather, then it's now becomes a very generous act. And it's more easy to stay consistent with. Because again, my goal is to release an X number of pounds or to achieve a particular fitness goal by a certain amount of time, and then I manage to miss a week, well, we'll forget it then. I've screwed up. And that's the issue with all of these challenges, these 21-day challenges or these six-week challenges. Notice the psychology behind that. The moment a person misses 1 or 2 days or falls behind on one lesson, oh my goodness, they failed, right? That is, again, the all or none approach. And it's not, again, this generous act where I'm just going to be doing this. I'm just going to be showing up for myself just for the sake of showing up for myself, which it comes from a drive of self-love. And so the more that we start to notice in our day, why is it that I'm going to the gym? I'm going to the gym because I need this to happen. And so if I don't go to the gym, then this can't happen. Or if I don't get that outcome by going to the gym, then I'm just going to stop doing it. It's not a generous act. Again, there's always a catch. We're doing it because we're expecting an exchange in return.
You know what else is coming to mind? We are so addicted to instant mm-hmm. gratification.
Yes, so good.
And my thought with, if you've gained 60 pounds, that didn't happen overnight. That took time to gain 60. So of course, and I don't use the word lose, to release, right? Because mm-hmm. normally if you lose something, you want to find it.
Yes, so good.
So if you want to release 60 pounds because you want to become 60 pounds healthier, that's not going to happen over time. So again, how do we shift our mindset from that instant gratification to understanding, now I want to get into the systems idea, but understanding it's a process, it's creating a lifestyle, that it's an identity.
Now that requires the energy of patience. So generosity is one of the energies of health that I talk about and teach. And then patience is another one. And patience is really, again, being able to stay centered regardless of what happens in your environment. And so we don't tend to do that. And especially because our society expects and demands for things to be done yesterday, we also have a hard time to stay patient with some of the things that we're doing. And one of the greatest forms of suffering that we have is that there's this expectation that everything needs to be lined up in a way that is pleasurable all the time for us. And that's just not reality. Talk to anybody. Every single person is suffering in some way. Every single person has good and bad days. And so when you understand that, and you understand that your path to success is never a straight line, it's going to look like a lot of ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. And that, by the way, is the journey. And I've been in this space for almost 25 years, and that has been my personal journey. I've been injured. I've had two kids. I've had two back surgeries. There's been so many things that have happened. I've had issues with my business. I've had to close the gym down during COVID. And so it's constant shifting, pivoting, shifting, pivoting. And that is the flow of life. And during those stressful times, to create balance, then what I did to stay consistent with all of my fitness rituals is then just manage my energy for the day. And so if we really want to stay patient, instead of really looking at what can be done in 90 days or 6 months or a year from now, all we have to do is focus on 24 hours at a time. What can I do inside these 24 hours? And then tomorrow I'm going to work on those 24 hours, and every single day I'm just going to work on 24 hours. Yeah. And on that note, your 100% is not the same every day. So there's always going to be a fluctuation depending on what's going on in your environment and what's going on in your internal environment as well.
That makes me think of the idea, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So I love the idea of that, is like that 24 hours of focus, because I think that what happens for a lot of people I see is distraction and overwhelm. And so let's say your goal is to release 100 pounds, or to make six figures, or to launch that business, whatever your condition is, it's not an overnight thing. So I love that, the idea of focus. What can I do today to move me? Or it's right, 1% better. What can I do today that moves me in the direction of where I want to go?
Yeah, so good.
Two words also came to mind while you were sharing all that. And they are resilience and perseverance. And, you know, like I believe that we all have the ability to have a growth mindset. I believe that we all have the ability to reach our highest potential, but it's not necessarily easy, right? Like I call entrepreneurship personal development on steroids.
Right.
Leaving a 9-to-5, a guaranteed paycheck, whether or not I did any work that day, going into 100% sales commission job, has been a night and day difference. And again, it's a lot of this identity. So I'd love to hear from you. What do you believe the importance of is on resilience and perseverance? Like, how much does that really matter?
Well, what really matters to actually have those two is inspired action. So resilience is this ability to stay committed. And that's really what it means. And same thing with this determination. I'm just so committed to that ultimate goal. So first I have a belief system that I know it's possible and it resonates with me, but then I take inspired action towards it. And that's very different than just taking action. Inspired action, there's so much energy, and it's greater than just yourself, because you're not just thinking about, well, what's in it for me? You're thinking about it, what's in it for the greater good? What's in it for other people? And how can that start to actually impact the flow of all the people that I continue to interact with? And so if you're so clear on how something actually lights you up, on how you're so resonating with it, how it's so important to you, and it's way deeper than just the surface level. So when it comes to health and fitness, it's not just gonna be about what you look, but it's also gonna be about how you'll become a role model for your kids. Maybe you're gonna avoid certain diseases or conditions that your parents had to go through. And so the more that you get deeper and deeper and deeper into why you wanna do something, that's why they always talk about the why, but I'm actually gonna going to call it an immovable heart. Like, no matter what, like, this is so important to me that I'm not going to ever, ever derail. And yeah, I'm going to slow down at certain times, just like running a marathon, moments where I'm going to have to walk, other moments where I can sprint, other moments where I have to jog. And it's okay to change my pace. It doesn't matter. I'm still moving towards the same direction. And it requires inspired action. And inspired action, that comes from within. That means I don't need to watch a motivational video or go to a Tony Robbins event to feel inspired. It's actually coming from within. It's so incredibly important to me. Like, there is absolutely no other way. This is the only way, and I'm so committed to it.
I love that you touched on the importance of having a why. And I think something I wrote down is also that idea of being purpose driven.
Yes.
Because when you're purpose driven, you're not always going to be motivated. But when you are purpose driven, I think that why is just an intrinsic motivator. But here's what I want to more deep dive now that we touched on earlier is this idea of systems. You said to let go of the outcome, but to be more system driven, which is, does this correlate with the be, do, have?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk systems and identity.
Yeah. So it's interesting because, you know, we oftentimes hear it from society that in order to be healthy, you have to release weight, right? And it's actually the other way around. It's actually that we have to be healthy first in order to release weight. And the healthy first is not just on the physical level, because what I actually describe health as and what I teach is that health is this equilibrium. It is a balance between your relationship with your body, your relationship with others, and then your relationship with self. And that is how you establish health. Just think about what happens when you're fighting with your spouse, or maybe you have a fight with one of your siblings or your parents, right? That ends up completely derailing you. Same thing too, when you have a negative relationship with your body. Notice how it's not the state of your body. It is your relationship with your body. How do you treat your body? Are you kind to your body? How do you serve your body? What do you ingest? What do you put into your body? What is your diet? And your diet is not just what you're consuming through your mouth. It's what you're watching. It's what you're listening to. It's the conversation that you're sitting in. All of that is your diet. And so that really needs to be addressed. And now that we've spoken about that, what we can also talk about is how really our physical bodies is an outward reflection of our internal environment. It's whatever we're feeling on the inside is what ends up happening on the outside. And so now that we're like, okay, wait a minute. So it's not just about getting on some diet to magically release X number of pounds. It's really about working on my internal environment. And now I'm hearing that I also have to work on my relationship with myself, relationship with other people, relationship with my body. And now we're talking. And so when we are outcome focused, meaning we have a particular goal, and this is kind of what my beef is around personal development. It's all about get clear and, you know, have smart goals. And by this time, you're going to accomplish that. But they never really talk about how do you create the system to keep that sustainable. And for some people, it's natural and they know how to stay consistent. But for others, there's this thing that we psychologically do where the moment that we achieve a task, we stop working. The job is done. Why do we still need to keep working? And so when we look at weight loss in that same way, well, that's why we always tend to go back to the way that it used to be. It's because we've never really established a system. And so a lot of times when we're outcome focused, that since we are outcome focused and that is at the forefront of our mind, we're also going to do just about anything to achieve this goal. So if I wanted to release weight, I could even chop off a limb, for example, and be successful at that, right? But that, again, just shows me what happened on the scale, but doesn't really give me exactly what I wanted. And what people really want is the feeling of what happens when I release 30 pounds, not the fact that I actually lost 30 pounds. And if we want to actually achieve that feeling, now let's talk about what we need to do in lifestyle. And so the way that I would share for anyone who's listening who wants to start to take action is instead of actually focusing on an X number of pounds that they want to release, to maybe reframe the question and ask themselves, well, what do I have to do to become the person who's 30 pounds lighter, as an example, if that is your weight loss goal? And so now we can start to look at really, really small things that we can start to adjust. And if we're not really so sure around how to do that, like if that was my goal, for example, and I wasn't sure, I might call my friend Heather and say, hey, Heather, can you just share with me what your day looks like? Like, what time do you go to the gym in the morning? I know you said you go to the gym every single day. What does that look like? And then what do you do? Do you spend time in the sauna? What about hydration? How much water do you drink? And what kind of other activities do you do? And now I'm getting ideas. And then I'm going to go do that with another friend and another friend. And now what I've heard is a whole bunch of habits. They're living a very different lifestyle than I am. The operational system that I'm I'm currently using is continuing to give me the exact same results that it's always been given. And so if I suddenly now do something, let's say extreme, to release those X number of pounds that I've been wanting to release, I'm still with that old operating system. And so I don't actually change anything in my life. And so what I do have to do is now start to change the person that I am. And again, that takes generosity, that takes patience, that takes inspired action. And it requires us to look at 24 hours at a time. And we start with one habit. Maybe that's to drink more water. Maybe that's to wake up a little bit earlier. Maybe that's to stop TV at a certain time. Maybe that's to increase the number of daily steps. And over time, that starts to give results. And something as small as, let's say, getting 10,000 steps a day gives so much result. And so I'm not one to count calories personally, and I'm actually anti-diet. But just to give you an example for those that like numbers and for more tangibility, if you're about 180 pounds and you walk 10,000 steps a day, you're burning anywhere from 400 to 600 extra calories every single day. That's it, just from that one little act. And now imagine what happens if you do that consistently every single day. Yeah. Well, 1 pound of body fat is 3,500 calories. So that starts to add up. And now you can start to see that how having a daily walking practice results in part of that system that you're generating so that you can become that person that you are wishing to become.
There are three main things that come to mind, everything you just shared. Well, wait, before I go there, what I want to kind of harp on is understanding that health is a holistic approach. And I love the meme. I imagine you've seen it, but there's a meme out there that says you can drink the alkaline water, do yoga, eat organic veggie. But if you don't deal with what's going on in your head and your heart, you're still unhealthy.
100%.
But so, I mean, you touched on so much there. People need to hear this more than once, but it's not only what we're consuming and ingesting, it's the media, it's our environment, it's our thoughts, it's our beliefs. There's so much to understand what really creates us. Now, when we're talking that system focus that you touched on, what I got from that is this idea of creating a system is really all about habits and lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that when we change our habits and lifestyle, that is how we get those new outcomes, but that's creating sustainable change.
100%. Yeah.
So I'm curious how you refer to that. Cause like with my coaching clients, I consider it's creating version 2.0. It literally is reinventing yourself. So as an example, one of my current clients, very successful financially and in career, already pretty healthy and active, but relationship aspect, not well. And so for him, it was understanding his belief system, his fear of abandonment, feeling unworthy. So I helped him create that version 2.0, confident, secure, giving self-love and compassion to that young version of him in order to attract that ideal relationship. So what are you doing with your clients, or what is a tangible takeaway you could share with listeners on how to create the systems, but more importantly, understanding that identity?
So good. Yeah. So similar to what you do, my process is called future self mapping. So it's kind of a reverse engineering from future self to where you are now. So again, that takes some time to really just sit down with yourself. And it's not this process that you're going to do over a few minutes. In fact, I would really recommend that you just self-reflect for a moment, even go back into your childhood. What used to light you up? What were you so excited about? What did you always want to do? So similar to your story, Heather, leaving a corporate job with a lot of stability to do this, there's something there inside that's been calling to you, right? There's a reason why there was a disalignment. And so when you start to envision that future self of yours, now you can start to also create more reality, right, around what that could even look like. So for example, I'm 44. To say that I'll be an Olympian athlete as my future self mapping vision, maybe is not so accurate. So let's start off with things that really are important to you. What are your top values? What are your top priorities? All of those things have to be in that future self. And more importantly, how do you feel? Like, how do you want to feel? How did you always want to feel? And now you can start to expand a little bit more. And from there, now you start to reverse engineer all of the habits that need to happen, the things that you have to start to work on in order for you to be able to achieve that. Now, during that process, you're going to start to notice what limiting beliefs that you have, why you feel like you can't do certain things, or why you feel like you're not good enough to do certain things, or maybe not even worthy enough to do certain things. And these are the things that you have to start to break down. And here's what I want to say about really addressing limiting beliefs or any other traumas that continue to come up. This is daily effort. It is daily work. It is not a one and done. We don't just overcome limiting beliefs. I'm like, I'm good now. I went to one event and I'm good. No more limiting beliefs. No. Every single day is a new opportunity for you to adopt a new limiting beliefs. And so this is a daily practice. And you continue to check in with yourself. And you know, when we're born, the moment that we come out of our mom's womb, we just start to interact with our external environment. We're always interacting with external environment, and we start putting things in our mouth as we're growing. We start crawling, and then we start walking, and then again, interacting, relationships, people, places. But we never actually give ourselves time to interact with our internal environment. Like, what do we really think? How are we really feeling? And why are we really feeling about this? What's really behind it? Because there's only four emotions that we actually experience. And feelings and emotions, by the way, differ in the way that feelings maybe are sort of kind of passing by. They last for about 5 minutes, but emotions are what actually tend to linger. Those are like the baseline feelings that we tend to have that end up lasting for a much, much longer time. But there's only four that we have. We have anger, we have fear, we have joy, and we have sadness. Everything else we feel stems from those four. So simply just starting to understand, well, why is it that I feel afraid to try this? Why do I fear maybe committing to that gym routine? Why do I fear maybe hiring a trainer? Why? And the more that you start to ask yourself and understand what really is the block, you're going to start to uncover then for you a way as well to rewrite that belief system so that you can actually start to proceed in a way that, again, is more aligned to you.
So I'm in this work and I understand, especially as a coach, but I've been into personal development for decades. I understand it's every single day and it's that self-inquiry and it's creating these systems and like showing up for yourself and that it truly is a journey. But I don't want listeners to be like, oh my God, that's way too much work. Forget it. I'm just going to fall back into autopilot. Same shit, different day. And like settling for mediocrity, which is what most of humanity is doing, right? But I love the idea of like, choose your heart. Staying stuck is hard and showing up and doing the work is quote hard. So how would you inspire or want to ignite that passion to like, this work is worth it?
So good. So we don't need to commit right away. It's so interesting. And I actually think this is the reason why we fail is because we commit right away. And what I'm actually going to say is, why not approach it with a sense of curiosity? What would happen if for 30 days I meditated? What would happen if for 30 days I just actually journaled every morning? What would happen if for 30 days I tried this? Let me see what happens. Because we tend to say yes or no right away to something before even trying it. And so when it comes to, let's say, that fear of all this effort that, it's a daily practice. I have to do this for the rest of my life. Why don't I just first determine what is the benefit? Because to your point, Heather, choose your heart, right? And psychologically, we make every single decision in our life trying to move away from pain and try to move towards pleasure. And pain, by the way, can be something uncomfortable, right? And so the pleasure right now is like, oh, I don't want to change. I just want to stay how I am. But the pleasure could also be, well, what would happen if after 30 days of really making time just for myself, maybe meditating, maybe taking some self-care time in the afternoon as well, after 30 days, I notice that I'm more centered. I notice that it's easier to commit to myself. I notice that I now have boundaries with certain things, not just with certain people, but also with certain things. And maybe now this is worth it. So now I've just introduced a new form of pleasure. I'm going to move away from the constant worry and the constant fear and the constant focusing on limiting beliefs, and notice that the more that I spend time with myself and work on my internal environment, my goodness, everything in my life starts to change. It's like it flows. It's so much easier. So why don't I just commit to that and see what continues to happen?
I'm curious your perspective on this. I think a false belief is that people are afraid of change. I don't believe they're afraid of change because change is the only constant. I think people are afraid of the uncertainty. And so at least even if they're miserable or they're overweight or whatever, that's certain. So they would rather be stuck in a relationship they're not happy in than be alone or have to go date again. So what are your thoughts on that about like embracing uncertainty? I love how I think Dispenza is the one that says it. The best way, or maybe it's not him, but there is a quote that the best way to predict your future is to create it, not from the known, but the unknown. That is Dispenza.
That is Dispenza, yeah. I have to think about what you just asked. Sorry.
Well, the idea of uncertainty.
Oh, yes. So what I wanted to actually say around that is I don't know that we fear necessarily the uncertainty. I actually think that we have two fears. And the two fears that we actually have is the fear of failure and the fear that we're not enough. And now add in the uncertainty. And now do I know that I'm going to succeed or I'm going to fail? Do I know that people are going to accept me or not? Right? And so when we actually focus on those two fears, you'll notice that all the other fears that we have in our life actually trickle from those two main things. And most of the time, when it does come to uncertainty, it is the fear of failure. It's the fear of trying something that doesn't work out. It's also the fear of maybe being judged once we try something, or the fear of the amount of work that requires that level of success, for example, which again comes from the fear of failure.
So I have a word that's coming to mind, but I'm curious what yours is. I think my idea is, you already brought up curiosity. I 100% agree. I'm very curious. I don't believe I know everything. So I listen, like I take what resonates, I leave the rest. But I'm curious, I'm open-minded. But I think what it truly comes down to creating change in your life is having courage.
Yes.
How would you offer somebody who's, okay, they're in this space, you know what, I am ready to create change in my life, whether it's my health or finances or relationships, whatever. I want that. But like, how do I have enough courage to get started?
So good. Well, we only need courage when there's something scary, when there's something that's creating a lot of fear. So really, courage can only be applied in the scenario where there is something that's creating fear and anxiety and worry and doubt. And so we need that hard, challenging thing in order to have courage. And when we have courage, by the way, it doesn't mean we don't have fear, because the fear is always going to stay there. You cannot remove the fear. That is actually a natural process that we have. The only thing we can do with fear is we can become brave. We can have courage to take action. Yeah. And the moment that we do that, that's also, by the way, how we create self-confidence and self-worth. So if I want to have more confidence to do something, what I actually have to have is the fear. So we actually have it backwards. We always think like, wait, once I'm confident enough, then I'm going to get started. Once everything lines up in my life, then I'm going to go. Once things are easy and this is done, then I'm going to do it. Yeah. But what we're actually also saying is that the moment that things go back into chaos, then I'm also going to quit. We're also saying that at the same time. And so if we really want to have courage, we're going to have that fear. And that's the only way that we can change. Otherwise, to your point, we always stay the same because we don't want that scary thing. The moment we have that scary thing, we back off. But if we want to break free from that and we really want to change, we need that scary thing. And remember, it's not that I'm going to try to get rid of my fear to prepare myself for it. No. I'm going to keep the fear. But what I'm going to add is that layer of courage and that layer of really bravery to break free from that and then create the self-confidence. And now I've shifted my identity. Now I know what I'm actually able to do.
I'm curious what you do. So I use the quote, let fear fuel you, not rule you. And so I actually have learned, when I get that pit in my stomach or like that, oh shit, I go towards the thing. Mm-hmm. But I have built a lot of confidence and belief, and I don't have a fear of failure. I do the opposite. I go all in. Maybe I mess up and whatever, but I just figure it out as I go. So like, I'm not afraid to fail, but I've done a lot of endurance sports and things outside my comfort zone so that when I feel that discomfort, I keep going. Mm. So what do you do to like embrace that fear, but go after whatever the thing may be?
So a couple of things, and you'll also notice that in you. And I heard you also say, I just go ahead and I take action. The more energy we give to that fear, the more we entertain that thought, the greater it continues to expand. Yeah. And so again, the goal is not to try to avoid these situations. It's really trying to sit with them. And the other thing too, is that what's interesting about our solar plexus, or our third energy center, which is where fear comes from. So that's just part of the sympathetic nervous system response. In that same energy center is also where excitement comes from. And the difference between fear and excitement is breath. And notice that when we're afraid, we're like, oh, right? We hold our breath, like, oh my God. And then the moment you start to breathe, actually, yeah, now we're starting to shift the nervous system. Now we're actually starting to get excited about certain things. And so we'll tend to notice those two things. The more you focus on it, the more you give something energy, what happens? Oh, the mind starts to race, more and more reasons not to, more and more fear. Now we're projecting into the future. This is, by the way, what sympathetic nervous system state does, which I call protection mode, that not only does our physiology changes, but our thoughts change. Our thoughts are going to be projected around worst case scenarios. And then what happens when we're thinking about the worst case scenario? We're getting anxious. We're getting worried. We're getting stressed. We have all this doubt. And now we're feeding the cycle. We're feeding the cycle. Yeah. The body changes. And every single thought that we have in the mind creates chemistry in the body, and the chemistry is in a form of a hormone. And so it all starts with the brain, but again, the brain is a thought. The more we feed those thoughts, the more we're going to have of it. So just as a reminder, if you want to shift the fear into excitement, breathe into that, and then shift more around focusing on the solution instead of focusing on all the problems that you cannot control.
Man, that I feel like we literally touched the tip of the iceberg, because even what you're just talking into, I'm like, I'd love to go into energy centers, the chakras, our nervous system. But for time's sake, and maybe we'll have to do this again, but for time's sake, what we cover today, I'd love to ask, what do you believe is a key takeaway you want listeners to get?
So the main thing is, well, maybe two things. The main thing is, it's never too late. Whatever you want to create in your life, it is never too late. Just get started. Stop overthinking it. You probably thought of this 10 years ago, and look, now 10 years have passed. Just do it. And then the second thing is consistency first before intensity, always. Before you add the intensity, before you start to push yourself so far out of your comfort zone, just start with that one small thing. That is a little bit scary, but then just go for it. And again, remember, take a breath, turn that fear into excitement, and now expand on that, make it a little bit bigger. And now take that next step. And before you know it, your courage is going to grow and grow and grow to take on the bigger and bigger and bigger, scarier things. And again, consistency is what drives results, not intensity. So start with a way where it becomes sustainable for you, and then gradually add on the intensity over time.
I think that was powerful. I hadn't heard that before, but I wrote that down. Consistency over intensity. Love that. I'd love to wrap up the interview, so I have a few rapid fire questions for you. What is a quote or motto that you live by?
In God, I move and breathe and have my being.
What is a book you're currently reading or highly recommend, like in the personal development space?
I'm actually reading the autobiography of a yogi right now. So even though it's more around yoga, there's so much value in there. Anyone who's in personal development is going to find so much beautiful golden nuggets.
A lot of people talk of that book. Final question. What advice would you give your younger self?
Stop caring so much about what people think. Like, I got this in my 30s. I wish that was the case in my 20s. Stop caring so much and live your life in 6-month increments, 6 months at a time. Just imagine that all you've got is 6 months. When those 6 months are done, give yourself another 6 months, and then see how that impacts everything around you and how you even show up for yourself.
I love that. And such a great note to end on. Sherry, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Heather. I loved it.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. I'd love it if you could leave me a review, and remember to subscribe and share this episode with your friends. If you haven't yet, connect with me on the social platforms. You can add me on Instagram at heather.hakes and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'll catch you on the next episode.